How's that right there? All right, all right. I was reading on the news that if it rained every other day for like 3 months, we still wouldn't catch up with what we've lost. So it's really serious right now. We need to be praying. But I felt good about this. Well, you know, this Crazy Maker series, I've been sharing with you how every week we've been tagged in this church. We finally made it a week with no tagging in this church. Nobody tagged anything, finally, you know, driving me crazy. And then I shared with you, about my driving experience and some lady waving at me with one finger and sharing that experience with me. And I shared with you, I didn't know what I did. Well, I don't think I did anything. Nobody waved at me this week, so I really feel good, you know. But what do you do when somebody drives you crazy? How do you do? We've been looking at this series. What do you do when people just kind of, and this morning, I want to take that driving crazy to the extreme, all right? This is going to be a challenging message for me. And I know it's going to be a challenging message for you because I want to kind of take this message. See, we're sinful people. We are born with a sin nature in us. You don't have to watch a child too long when you see a little boy walk up to an anthill and start stomping on the ants. That's that nature in us. You know, we just have this sinful nature in us, and it bleeds off into our relationships. And when it bleeds off to some extreme in our relationship, it becomes very abusive. And so this morning, I'm going to deal with that pain of abuse. And so as we go through this message this morning, it's really a tough message for me to share. And I'm sure it's going to be a tough message to hear. Because what happens in those relationships with abuse? That physical abuse, that sexual abuse, that emotional abuse, that verbal abuse. You know that I'm on the school board. Most of you know I'm on the school board here in Slide, and I watch the news, and anything comes up with school, I'm reading the newspaper, whether it's on, I look at news, Google News and Fox News and all these different news channels, and I'm always on it, especially when something school comes up, and we've had all these school shootings. I just read an article this morning that school shootings have not gone down with all the security stuff we've changed and all that stuff, because I don't think they're still addressing the result, but not the problem. Because as I read it, when something happens at a school and I read these, the first question that comes to my mind, and maybe it comes to yours, is, was the child bullied? Anybody go with that one with me? You know, you hear that story and you want to know, is there, what kind of abuse is going on, or is there any kind of abuse happening that caused that child to respond in that way? And I mean, we read the newspapers, and I like watching some of the cop shows. Anybody else watch those cops? You know, I like cops and all these different shows on the cop. And how many of those domestic calls those police officers go on? You ever notice that? You know, all the domestic calls the police officers go on and the law enforcement deals with, and we see all that. That's that sinful nature in us, and how do we deal with it? And it just seems to be getting worse. And I want to make sure, you know, it shouldn't surprise you that it is getting worse, all right? Here's what the scripture says. We're going to look here at 2 Timothy. Let me encourage you to get your little outline out of your worship folder. And it kind of has some scriptures in there we're going to go over this morning. Here's what it says. But understand this. Now, I want you to understand this. That in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappreciable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. It says in the last days. Now I want to give you just a quick little update so you know. We have been in the last days since Jesus died on the cross, all right? If you understand the scriptures, the last days began when Jesus died. He died on the cross, rose from the grave. We entered the last days. It is just getting worse, and it shouldn't surprise because it says it's going to be that way it's going to be. Times are tough. Did you know the number one cause of injury to women is domestic violence? The number one cause. That you have to take the three next ones and add them up to get to the number one cause. That's how bad abuse is. You know, we have it at our schools and we call it bullying. And I know we have this bullying programs over here at the Slida Middle School, and it's going down into the elementary schools. You know, how do we deal with this abuse? You know, how do we deal with these things that go on in our homes? I read an article and I was looking at some notes this week, and one in five teenage girls who have boyfriends and relationships have been threatened by themselves, or the boyfriend has threatened harm to himself if they break up. One in five teenage girls have that threat. And we see all this abuse. And if I was to ask you here, does anybody here know anybody that's being abused? Most of us would say yes. You know, it happens in the workplace. You know, it happens in the homes. It happens in our schools. And we see this abuse. And what do we do? Do you know there are three times as many animal shelters as shelters for abused individuals? Three times as many animal shelters. And what do we see, and how do we deal with it? You know, I see all these issues, and we talk gun control, and we talk safe in schools, and metal detectors, and all of this, and I see those as not the problem. I see the problem coming back to that brokenness and abuse. And how do we deal with that? And like I said, as I was approaching this topic, and I've been praying all week about this, because I figured when I started talking about this, it's going to get quiet in here. And let me tell you what, it is quiet, real quiet right now. Because it's not a laughing matter. And for me, you know, it's like, how do I preach this? But I think we need to say it. I think we as Christians need to step up and say, enough is enough. And respond and be receptive and hear what's going on and be aware of what's going on and how to deal with it. New Hampshire did a study, I made my notes here. New Hampshire did a study of 32 nations. Half the abuse now, you're going to be surprised, is caused by women. We used to think it's just a man's problem. The study in New Hampshire that they just did said half the causes now are women. And then guys won't say anything. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to say when some woman beat me up, I ain't telling anybody, all right? Hey, it ain't going to happen, you know? And you see me coming with a black eye, I'm not going to say, Lord, I'm going to run into the doorknob, all right? You know? How do we deal with this? You know, I shouldn't joke about it because it is serious. You know? But I think we need to be on the forefront of this. But I want to make sure you understand, it's nothing new. I gave you three references here. If you look at this, I want to make sure you see this. There's some scriptures that had happened. Anybody familiar with the story of Abraham and Sarah? Anybody know the story of Abraham and Sarah? That God had promised Abraham a great nation, that Sarah was going to have children, and they were going to prosper and have a great nation. Well, Sarah's about 90 years old, and there's no kid. So a big old bright idea comes into Sarah's mind. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what she was thinking. It's not very wise. She goes, well, I can't have any kids. Why don't you take my servant? Yeah, that goes really well. Yeah. And Hagar gets pregnant, has a child. Now, you think that's going to go really well? Look at what it says here. Then Sarai treated Hagar so cruelly that she ran away. Abuse. There's a marriage relationship. There's two individuals, Abigail and Nabal. And Nabal, he was a guy with an attitude, all right? He was a guy with an attitude. I like the way she says this. He's a bully who won't listen to anyone. He's just bullying everybody around and bullying her. If you're familiar with the story of Job, Job had his friends, and Job had lost his family, he had lost his crops, he had lost his herds, he had lost basically everything in life, and now he's sick in bed, and his buddies come over, three of his buddies come over trying to encourage him. And guess what he said about his buddies? Why do you keep tormenting me with words? Time after time you insult me and show no shame for the way you abuse me. See, abuse is real, and it hurts, and it's painful. Whatever form it takes, physical, emotional, spiritual, verbal, sexual, whatever it is, it hurts. And I think we as Christians need to start standing up and saying, enough is enough. And so what I want to do this morning and what I wanted to kind of outline with you, there's lots of scriptural principles. But I'm just going to pull out seven this morning that I want you to think about. And here's what I want you to put it in the context of this. It might be in a work environment for you, all right? Maybe you're being abused, or maybe somebody in your workspace is being abused. And I want you to kind of put that in the context. Maybe you're the one that's experiencing the abuse. You know, maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe you're the abuser. Maybe it's at your school. Maybe you're being abused at school, or maybe your friends are abusing somebody. So I want you to think about these principles in that context of abuse. And I want you to think about it from the context of, do I have a responsibility? Well, I'm not doing it. You know, it's the boss. It's my friends at school. It's my kids. It's my husband. It's my wife. I'm not doing it. But I want you as a Christian, I want to say, what role do we play? And how can we deal with it? So if you get your outline out, we're just going to go through these real, real quick this morning. Let me begin with this, because if we don't deal with it, here's what's going to happen. My stomach, and this is Job again, is in constant churning, never settles down. Each day confronts me with more suffering. See, if we don't deal with it, there was a study done of 20-somethings who had been abused earlier in their life. And in that study of 20-somethings, I'm trying to remember what number it was. It didn't give me the number. It says most of them that would be abused were still emotionally dysfunctional with unresolved pain because they were abused in their 20s when it happened as a child and teenagers. What are we going to do? And so seven principles right here. You ready? Don't keep it a secret. All right? Don't keep it a secret. If there is abuse going on, don't keep it a secret. We need to step up and identify. We need to step up and talk about it. We need to step up and say something and understand there's no shame in it. You know, a lot of times we'll blame ourselves. I'm going to get down to some of this, and it's my fault, and what did I do? And we look at this, and we see the shame in it, and we don't want to hurt anybody, and we don't want to bother anything. We don't want to upset it. And I've watched these TV shows, and I've watched the conversations, and it's like, well, he's my only income. If you take him to jail, who's going to pay my rent, and who's going to pay my bills? You know, so they don't share anything. They don't say anything. They just let it go on and on and on. And I want to say we need to speak up. Whether it's you or somebody else at school or at workplace or in the home, we need to speak up. We need to say something. We need to step into something. We need to be a part of it. Here's again another 10-nation study. 55 to 95% never share they're being abused. 55 to 95% never share they're being abused. They create this silence, and they live in this silence. And I found some good statements. Again, as I did this, I found all sorts of really neat statements. You're only as sick as your secrets. Here's another one. Revealing my feeling is the beginning of healing. That we need to begin to speak about this. Like I say, on the school board and all this, we get signs over the school. Speak up. Go to the principal. Go talk to the counselor. Go tell someone. If it's not you, I'm going to say, if you're a friend, go tell somebody. Yeah. David was a guy. Anybody know King David? Very successful. Unites the whole kingdom of Israel. Builds this great nation of Israel. Conquers the land. Did you know David was abused? People tried to kill him. Tried to disgrace him. Defame him, work behind his back, stick him in the back, did all that kind of stuff to David. And David had some really great words. Listen to what David says here. I said, I will not say anything while evil people are near. So I kept quiet, not saying a word. But my suffering only grew worse, and I was overcome with anxiety. The more I thought, the more troubled I became. I could not keep from asking, Lord, how long will I live? When will I die? Tell me how soon my life will end. Do you see the anguish in David's words here? And it's interesting. This is just one Psalms. Just so you know, there's 150 Psalms. David wrote most of them. I should have wrote down how many David wrote. David wrote most of the Psalms. Of those 150 Psalms, our home group just finished it. And as I was reading them, I began to realize David in those Psalms was asking for deliverance over and over and protection over and over again. So I went through and I counted every one of the Psalms where David was asking for deliverance, protection, and help from God dealing with abuse. And you know what? 69 out of the 150 dealt with that. 69 of 150 Psalms David wrote dealt with abuse that he was wrestling with. Of 100 times, he says people are his enemies in the Psalms. How do you deal with this? What do you do? And then he reads this, and here I think there's some great teaching in this. So I take 4 points out of this. I said, I will not say anything while evil people are near, so I kept quiet, not saying a word. He's afraid to talk about it. Point number one, he's afraid to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to discuss it. I don't have anything to say about it. I'm going to carry this around in silence. It's my burden to bear. Nobody knows my sorrows but me. See, he's sitting there. It's just me, and I'm the one hurting, and I'm not going to tell anybody. He has this secret shame. He has this secret he's carrying around of this abuse in his life. He also goes on and says it's the silence. It makes it worse. It just seems to get worse. It got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And so the silence just made it worse. If I keep quiet, I'm going to tell you, if you keep quiet, you think it's going to go away? You think it's going to get easier? It gets worse. Not only did it get worse, it turns pain into panic. Now he's starting to have anxiety. He's starting to stress over it. He's starting to worry about it. It's troubling him day and night now, and it's weighing on him. And then finally, he becomes obsessed with death. Well, the only way out is suicide. You know, I read this, and as I read this, I thought about some of the school shootings. And what have we read? The same process, the abuse, and they carried it, and they didn't share it with anybody, and it got worse, and it built in their lives, and it built in their lives, and it built in their lives, and it got worse, and it got panic, and it got anxiety, and then all of a sudden, they burst, and they go out and do something crazy, then they kill themselves. Do you see that in the scripture? I mean, is that what the scripture says? Silence does not solve the problem. We need to speak up. We need to be carers. And I think as Christians, we should be in the forefront of caring. We should be ones who are out there, whether it's on the school campus or whether it's in our workplace or whether it's in our homes. We need to be in the forefront in this issue of abuse. I mean, I do my reading on the internet for all the news. And it's amazing. Just like I said this morning, I just clicked on it and just kind of reading down there, and it was talking about abuse. I mean, almost every day there's something there. And so I think we need to, don't be silent about it, all right? You got to speak up. Nothing's going to be done until you say something, all right? And I want to make sure as I'm talking about this, not only the one being abused, maybe the abuser knows they're doing wrong. Maybe they need to say something. And maybe you're a friend that has somebody getting abused. Maybe you need to say something. Yeah. I think we have a responsibility in this area. So the first thing, don't keep silent. Don't keep it a secret. You can't hide it. I've sat here in this town. I've been here 30 years, and I can tell you, I've sat in the front yard of one of the women in our town when she had a black eye and her husband's in jail that night for abuse, that day for abuse. I've sat there, and I've watched that home be devastated by it, and I watched the young boy in that house that grew up, and guess what he does, and guess what he's done? And I've counseled people. See, silence does not solve the problem. You need to speak up. The next thing I put down here, I've looked at God's word, was this. Name the abuse. Call it what it is. Yeah. Name the abuse. Call it what it is. There's a name for it, all right? There's sexual abuse, and there's emotional abuse, there's verbal abuse, there's physical abuse. It's there. And we need to identify it and call it what it is. And I want to tell you, there's a program called Celebrate Recovery. Anybody heard of Celebrate Recovery? Anybody ever heard of a program called Celebrate? Now, I want to tell you, Celebrate Recovery is just not for alcohols, okay? Celebrate Recovery has everything. Now, we don't have one in our church, and I wish we did. We had somebody thinking about starting one. But I'm going to tell you, Big Valley has a great Celebrate Recovery program. All right? And they'll help you because we need, you got to name it. You can't just ignore it. We got to put a name on it. So what we have here, I think there's eight of these. Here's eight things that is abuse that I don't think, we just play games with it, okay? We play funny games with this, and we try to ignore it, and we try to just make light of it. But I think we need to step back and see this. Let's look at some of these real quick. My enemies taunt me day after day. They mock and curse me. And I circled the word taunt. I circled that word taunt. They pick on me. They just pick at me. They're just always picking at me. You know, and it just drives me up the wall. It's driving me crazy. They're picking on me, and they just won't leave me alone. And they're saying that. See, they're just aggravating me. And they're taunting me. That's abuse. In the workplace, in the marriage, at school. That's abuse. Here's another one. Wicked people and liars have attacked me. They tell lies about me and they say evil things about me, attacking me for no reason. They're just attacking. I circled that word attack. They're just always attacking me. Every time I turn around, they're behind me. Every time I turn around, there they are in my face. They're attacking. They're trying to intimidate me is kind of the idea I had here with this one. They're trying to intimidate me. They're trying to force their way on me. They're trying to force their will on me. They're intimidating. They're just always attacking me. I see it, you know, again, I kind of, you know, being on the school board, I keep going back to the school because I see it in the schools where they get a kid and they just, everybody attacks that one child. Yeah. I sit there and that young girl, I don't know how many of you remember the story. Again, I like reading the internet. A girl in Florida had been pestered by her friends till she climbed a tower and jumped off to her death. She had friends, they had broke off, and all the other friends teamed up against her and were attacking her. And she reached that point, like that scripture says, you know, I'm frustrated, I worry, I'm carried around in secret, nobody's helping me, what do I do? She's lost in all this. She gets her mind, why am I alive? What am I here? And she jumps off of a tower. You know, we got to name that abuse, and attacking somebody is abuse. Here's another one. They jeer, circle that word jeer, using words to kill. They bully their way with words. They're trying to manipulate. They're trying to push their way in. They're manipulating you, backing you into the corner. Here's another one. They push hard to make me fall. I push make me fall. I circled those. They're trying to control. They're playing power games. Now, this one's one I see at work. You know, people play power games at work. You know, they play those games trying to push you into the corner, trying to back you away and try to make you fall. And I see that in the workplace. And they're demeaning you and demoting you. And they're just trying to hurt you. Here's another one. They spread rumors about me and conspire against me. I circled spread rumors and wrote the word gossip. I put the word gossip in there. This is. I wrote another word down here to remind me. I put internet. All right? Now, you hear me beat up on Facebook. Now, I'm going to tell you, I enjoy Facebook sometimes, all right? Most of my interaction with Facebook is when my wife says, hey, somebody posted something. I'm an old man. Well, wait, I'm not old yet, but I'm not in that generation who plays on Facebook all the time, all right? Yeah. And there's a lot of good things about Facebook. But I'm going to tell you, I see enough about Facebook that makes it a booger, that makes it hard, that makes it a killer. I see enough about Facebook when people post things they would never say to your face, but they'll put it on Facebook. And it's like words that kill. It's like they're causing me to fall. They're gossip. They're rumors. They're just stabbing me. Now, there's positive things. You know, I go to the State Youth Conference. I like seeing pictures of the State Youth Conference. I like seeing pictures of our worship team on Facebook. I like seeing pictures of our home groups on Facebook. I like seeing that stuff on Facebook. But there's a lot of trash out there. You know? And we need to stand up. I'm going to give you a little hint. You know, if somebody's gossiping, there's something on Facebook that's really good. It's called hide. You know, there's some people you just need to hide in your Facebook. All right? Hear me. I'm going to meddle right now in your life, okay? There are some people in your Facebook you need to hide. I'm going to take it a step further, all right? And you can say, my pastor told me to, all right? I give you permission. They can come and tell me. Defriend them, all right? Defriend them. There are some people you need to defend. Defriend, not defend. Defriend. All right? There's a lot of good out there. But if they can't communicate well, you can block them. They don't even know it. But some of them need to know you've had enough, and you just say, defriend. Maybe they'll ask you why, and you can say, I don't like what you're saying. I remember one of the ladies in town that I was working with, and she was hearing gossip, and somebody called her to gossip. She goes, well, I don't do that, so why don't you call me when you have something else to say, and hung up the phone. I love it. See, we as Christians need to be in the forefront of this. You know, we look at our society, and we all feel, man, it's going, I don't want to say a hell in a handbasket, but that's what it's doing. You know, and we look at all this stuff happening, and then we sit back and we whine about it. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's something you can do. There's abuse in our world, and people are being hurt. Rumors are being spread, and we can make a difference. We can change. Let's go on. I can get on that one for a long time, but I'm going to go on. They mock me and call me names. They snarl at me. And I circled, they call me names. That's one of the worst ones. I don't know about you. I grew up with a lot of name calling, and I probably did a lot of it myself. So I thought about, you know, what about the vulgarities? What about cursing? What about the F-bomb? What about all those words out there people throw around? We need to think about how those words hurt. You know, I grew up with a saying. Anybody ever heard this saying? Sticks and stones will break my bones. Oh, you guys heard it too? I got news for you. It's a lie. All right? That is a lie. Because I'm going to tell you, I remember the words that were spoken. I have a lot of hill bones. I broke a leg. I broke my hand. You know, I broke my wrist. I broke a lot of bones. I don't think about those much. But some of those words that people spoke, you know what? They still hurt. And it's 40 years later. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It hurts. It hurts. See, and so we need to identify. We need to say, that's abuse, and I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to be a part of it. You know, if I'm going to tell you something, if you got a friend at school or you got partners at work and they're abusing somebody, get out of that group. I'm going to be mean this morning because I think we need to make a difference in our world. We need to change things in our world. And we as Christians need to lead the way. Because see, I don't think a lot of the things that are happening is a result of bad things at school or bad things with this or bad. I think it's a lot of it's inside people. And that's got to change. And I'm going to get to it at the end of the message, but I'm going to tell you where it starts. It starts with God, all right? But we need to identify. You got to name it. Don't try to hide it. Don't keep it a secret, and you got to name it. Let's go on. Number three, don't minimize the abuse. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to make excuses for it. Oh, he only does it when he's drunk. Anybody? Anybody? I can remember talking about someone, you know, they're really a good people, but when they drink whiskey, boy, they get mean. Anybody? Well, he, you know, there are some good things about him. There's some good things about her. And we make these kind of excuses about it. And we look at these kind of things. Oh, they're having a bad day. You ever said that about somebody? Oh, they're just having a bad day. And we look at these kind of things. Or maybe we'll say something like this. I put some notes here to keep reminding myself. I brought this on myself. If only I hadn't said, if only I hadn't. And see, we minimize it. And we need to step up and realize it is serious and don't make excuses. You know, well, they deserved it. We just need to kind of back up. I like what the scripture says here. Look at this, Ephesians 5, 6. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins for the anger of God will fall on who disobeys him. Don't keep rationalizing it away. Don't make excuses for it. You know, they'll get over it someday. He'll change. She'll change. You know, abuse is serious business. See, I look at it and my heart bleeds because I see, and maybe, I just come back to the kids. Now, I know women, and it is a major epidemic in the women, but I see it from the perspective of a school person. And I see these kids, and they'll carry it all their life. And, they're going to grow out of it. Well, you know what? They're in their 20s, and guess what? They haven't grown out of it. We need to address the issue. We need to say something about it. So don't minimize it. Don't make light of it. Let's go on. Help them to a safe place if necessary. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. I never advocate divorce, all right? But I'm going to tell you something. I have told people to separate, all right? My goal is to be restored relationship, all right? That's my heart. That's what God wants. But I don't find a scripture that says somebody, well, you're married and you're going to stay there because you're married, and I don't care if they beat on you. I don't care what they verbally do, emotionally do, physically do, sexually. It doesn't matter. You're married. You're going to stay there. I don't see that in the scripture. All right? I don't see that. Now, I'm not going to advocate divorce. My goal would be to see a relationship restored and marriages healed. But sometimes you got to get out. And now's the time to get out. You don't deserve that. I think one of the things, sometimes we feel we deserve it. Some people feel they deserve that. But nobody deserves abuse. Nobody deserves that type of treatment. There's ways to help. And sometimes we need to help them and they need to help them. But we need to help them. Sometimes we need to be one helping somebody get help. I was astounded when I was doing this research to find out there are 3 times as many animal shelters as domestic violence shelters. That says something to me. I've had women here in our area go to the one here in Modesto and spend time over there because it's real and it hurts. And sometimes we need to help people get that help. We need to step in there. We can't just sit back, well, that's their problem. See, I want to encourage you. And this is one of my things as I went through this message this morning. And because I don't know where some of you are. You know, like I say, I'm sure you, most of us have probably been abused at one time or another. Or maybe you're in the midst of it now, or you know somebody. And it's easy to sit on the sideline. And what I want to do this morning, if you're being abused, I want to give you the help and the help. But I also want to encourage you, if you know somebody being abused, that you need to step up and be a friend. You need to step up and intercede. You need to be part of the healing process. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Yeah. I like the scripture here. Look at what it says. Regard prisoners as if you were in prison with them. Look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them had happened to you. Whoa. Do we see that? Do we see the hurting people around us? Maybe in our own home. And do we just sit there and just watch it? See, there's places to help, and we need to encourage there. And last week I read this scripture, and I wanted to come back to it because I thought it was a great scripture last week. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. We're supposed to help. We have a responsibility to help. We need to be there for them and help them. It shouldn't matter that, well, that's not my problem. They're not picking on me. Well, they were my friend one time, but I've kind of moved on since then. See, I think this is an area we as Christians need to respond to and be a part of. So sometimes we need to help people find a safe place. Let's go on. Don't confront an abuser by yourself. I want to make sure I put this one in here because it's like, we're going to finish the message this morning. Preacher had a really good message. Hopefully you're going to say that. And you're going to walk out of here, I'm going to go solve the problem right now. I'm going to go look them in the eye. Don't do it alone. First, get God, all right? Can I say that one? Get God involved. Hook up with God. Start praying about it. Start asking God to help you. Intercede with God. If it's for you, if it's for somebody else, intercede for them. And get God involved. And then get somebody else involved with you. You don't have to do this on your own. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And like I say, you might think that nobody knows the abuse I'm going through. Sometimes it's not, but many times we know. You know, we know. And so ask somebody for some help. Don't confront alone. Look at what the scripture says. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? Three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Don't confront them alone. You know, there's a team. You ever watch those shows on TV called Intervention? That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 in the Message Bible. You ever find those intervention shows on TV? And you see them on TV, and you know, a whole team, the whole family is trying to intervene. Well, sometimes we need to recruit a team. That's why I like recovery ministries and Celebrate Recovery. And sometimes you need to go see a counselor, and you got to get other people involved to get you through that process and to help you. But again, I want to make sure you understand, it's not to correct people. It's not to condemn people. It's to help people. Look at what the scripture says. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help make him right again. That gently help make him right again, I underlined. Because we got to gently help make it right. It's not a matter of, well, I got to correct them. I got to fix them. No. Gently help make them. See, we need to work on these relationships and help. And it's not a matter of condemning people. But it's a matter of helping people. So we can't keep quiet about it. And we got to name it. And we got to give those safe places. And we got to sometimes confront, but we don't do it alone with ourselves. And then I'm going to do this one. Begin the healing process. Begin the healing process. Start putting things back together. That's the goal. That's the objective. To help people heal. Too many of us have baggage in our lives from our past abuses. Anybody? You know, those heartaches and those things that were beat on us and beat into us. And like I said, the 20-somethings, and we carry these secrets around, and we need to begin that healing process. I like what the scripture says here. Look at how it puts it here in Job. Put your heart right. Job, reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then, do you get the picture here? Look at what it says. Put your heart right. Get right with God. Get your heart right. Make sure you're right. Make sure you're okay. We're all sinners. We're all messed up. I don't know about you, but I'm a mess. I was sharing with somebody this week, you know, am I really a mature Christian? I'm not so sure. I don't know about you, but I always go to those 9 qualities that the fruit of the Spirit produces in us. I don't measure up too well in some of them. So am I mature? I wrestle with that. So I got to make sure I'm right. God, help my heart be right in this. Help me get right. And I reach out to God. It's God on my team. God's not just the third person. God is the person. And then I put away all that evil and wrong. I'm going to speak up. I'm not going to hide it anymore. And then, I want to make sure you see what it says. Did all that stuff. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade away from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Your life will be brighter than sunshine at noon, and life's darkest hours will then shine like the dawn. He's saying, listen, you can turn this around. You can begin a healing process. You don't have to carry that garbage in your life. You don't have to carry that abuse. You don't have to carry. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's not yours. Turn it over to God. Put it all out of your life. Stand up. Speak out. Get the help. Get on a team. Make it right. Go to a place of recovery. Do what you need to do. Then it will change. That's what God says. Then it will change. I like the last one because this is a hard one for me. Let God settle the score. You guys know what I say. You've heard this if you've been around long enough. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but... All right, see, you guys know that. Now, I say that sarcastically. That is a lie, all right? I want to do that. That's my sinful nature wants to do that. But I can't settle the score. I live on this principle. I live my life on this principle. I believe this with all my heart. You know what? If I take the high ground, God will fight my battles for me. And I'm going to tell you what. Who can do more damage to somebody, Gary or God? Who can make it all fair? Who can make it all right in the end, Gary or God? I'm going to tell you something. God can. So don't mess with me. God's on my side. No, I'm kidding you. But I'm serious. But we want to settle the score ourselves. They posted this on Facebook. So I was telling somebody this morning. I was texting to get something. It took me 2 minutes to write 3 lines. And they were laughing at me. Don't watch what you put on that stuff. You don't, tit for tat's not going to get it. I already told you last week, you can post anything about me you want because I'm not going to respond. You need to know that. It has to get to a point where there is nothing I could do because I'm not going to get into that on Facebook. I'm just not going to deal with it. I don't have time. Don't get even. You're not going to get even. See, I grew up in this situation. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in this situation. You did something to me. So I did something to you, then you did something to me, and then I did something to you. That's how I grew up. Somebody put a scratch on my brother's car. My brother went over there and took a baseball bat to his car. All right? That's how we grew up. That's what you did. You took care of business. Let God settle the business for you. You don't have to do that. See, you have 3 choices. You could be the first. You can be a preemptive strike. They're going to say something, so I'm going to say it first. Ha, ha, ha. That puts you beneath them. You can get on the same level as they do and just tit for tat back and forth. All right? But that, you're on the same level. Or you can take the moral high ground and get above it and rise above all of that and let God do his work. Like I said, you know, the guy was tagging our church. 4 weeks in a row, tagged our church building stuff. Now, fortunately, he didn't tag our building. He tagged all these electrical things, and Brenda covered part of it, and I covered part of it. We dealt with it. You know, and it'd be easy. I'll just beat the snot out of him, right? You know what? I decided this. One day, I'm walking over here to church. I'm going, you know what? If I win him to the Lord, that's even better. You know? Now, my initial reaction is, guess what? I had to think about that one for a while. It did. It took me a few days, and I'm just praying, okay, God, I need to pray for that guy. Yeah. What about us? Look at the scripture. Don't be hateful and insult people just because they are hateful and insult you. Instead, treat everyone with kindness. You are God's chosen ones, and he will bless you. 1 Peter 3:9. I like that. Look at 1 Peter 2:23. People insulted Christ, but he did not insult them in return. Christ suffered, but he did not threaten. He let God, the one who judges right, take care of him. I thought about that. You know, can you imagine the abuse Jesus went through? The verbal abuse? The emotional abuse? The physical abuse? Can you imagine that abuse that Jesus went through? And yet as he was nailed to the cross and as he died on the cross, he cried out, Father, what? Forgive them. They know not what they do. Isn't that what he cried out? Yeah. Can we have that compassion? Can we let God deal with those issues? Let God fight those battles for us? Can we trust God with those issues? You know, as I shared this message, and like I said, I really, this is one message I really struggled with because it's really a painful topic. Abuse is real. It's real. It hurts. You know, people, well, it's just teasing. You know, there's mean-spirited teasing. That's abuse, okay? You know, crude joking, that's abuse. Taunting, I listed all those. That's abuse. We got to call it what it is. And as I looked at the message, I was preparing to preach the message, it just killed me to think, you know, how do I share this with compassion? Because I know some of you are going through it right now. With as many people in our church, and we're just a small church, there are people that I'm sure are getting abused. Or you have friends, or neighbors, or a fellow student at school, or some coworker with you, that everybody's just always riding their back and just abusing them. But I wanted to tell you, you can make a difference. See, I wanted to tell those who are being abused that it doesn't have to stay that way. That you don't have to go through it. That there is a way out. And I wanted to tell those who are the abusers that you can get help. That there's hope. That it doesn't have to stay that way. See, I wanted to encourage us. But it's a painful message this morning. But I want to offer you that hope this morning. I don't care where you're at. Maybe you can be a blessing to someone else. Maybe you're not being in the midst of abuse right now. And maybe you're not abusing anybody. But maybe you have a friend. Maybe he's not even a friend. Maybe it's just a fellow student. Maybe it's just a fellow coworker. Maybe it's a coworker that aggravates you or a student that looks funny. Maybe you need to be the one that stands up, put your arm around and says, you know what? Let's not let others do that to you. One person can change a person's life. Did you know that? If you're the abuser, I'm going to tell you, God wants to help. You know, I watched it in this town. I've been here 30 years. I watched it in this town where I watched a home with abuse in it, and I watched that young man grow up to be an abuser. It is a learned behavior that can be changed, okay? It is a learned behavior that can be changed. You can change. There is hope. God changes lives. God changes hearts. God changes us. If you're an abuser, you can change. And if you're abused, there is a way out. I want to make sure I left that with you this morning. I want to close with this scripture right here. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Do you have that hope? I just want to encourage you this morning. This is a painful message. It's a hard message. But I think it's a message we as believers need to stand up and hear. I think we've ignored a lot of things as Christians. And we let, well, the school, something, and we just kind of ignored them and kind of hope they're going to pass. Well, it hasn't passed. It's got worse. And I think it's time for us as believers to stand up and say enough is enough, to open our arms to those who are crushed and offer them the hope of Jesus Christ, because he changes things. Do you have that hope? If you're abused, do you have the hope? You have a friend that's abused, do you want to give them hope? Are you an abuser? There's hope for even you. God cares for the brokenhearted. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. You know each life and each heart that's here. And so I lift each of us up, Lord. I pray for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow students, our co-workers. I pray for those that are around us, Lord. That sin nature causes so much pain in the abuse of relationships. And Lord, I don't know all, and I don't have all wisdom and all knowledge, but I know you. You're a loving, caring God. And so, Lord, I ask your spirit to settle upon each and everyone that is here this morning. Because if we're not being abused, I'm sure we know someone that is. Give us the courage, give us the strength to minister, to serve. Lord, I pray for those who are being abused this morning. That there's one here this morning that they'll have the courage to speak up. That they'll find someone they can share their heart with and their pain with. Someone that they can walk with that will encourage them. Lord, I ask you to give them some friend, someone that can stand alongside of them in a time of abuse, Lord, and encourage them. And walk with them through a time of restoration, a time of resolution. I pray for the abuser, Lord. I don't want to ignore them. For whatever reason, Lord, it's carried on in that life. So I ask you to give them a hope. Show them that there's a way out of that, that there's other ways, there's better ways, and that God loves them and wants them and cares for them. And Lord, I ask you to lay our friends and neighbors and others around us, that we can be an encourager to them. That if we see the abuse, that we can step alongside and say, we're going to deal with this. You're not alone. Lord, thank you for stepping alongside of us. For Satan has stepped in and tried to accuse us and abuse us, but Jesus stands alongside. Let Jesus stand alongside each of these. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.